expression, seen this, done that, or been there, done it, or whatever the expression is, that means it's all old. And for many people, the older they get, the more lifeless their world becomes. They get older and they've seen it all, they've done it all, nothing new, okay. So the world becomes stale. Not the world, but their state of consciousness, which is heavy with past. And so breaking through that, that happened to me spontaneously, and I walked around in that state of every sense perception happened within a field of peace. And that was just amazing. I was walking around Oxford Street in London, one of the least peaceful places, a million people walking along trying to do their shopping, buses and taxis in the middle with fumes, and I was walking around, oh, it's peace. All the sense perceptions arising in a field of stillness. And I didn't realize until much later when I talked to a Zen monk a year later, who said one sentence, he just said, Zen is to stop thinking. That's all. That's what it is. And that's what it is. I didn't know that I had stopped thinking. And I know that this is the shift in consciousness that is destined to happen and is already happening on the planet. I know that many of you already spontaneously experience those kinds of perceptions when you can simply look, hear, just to mention the two main senses, and the perception arises in an alert spaciousness, peaceful stillness. So you are not perceiving as a person anymore, as a me with a history, and the person of course wants something from the object of perception. There's always some kind of relationship that the person is seeking to make with the object of perception. Either the person wants it, or the person fears it, or somehow trying to figure out how this object of perception fits into me. Is it important to me? Am I going to be more of me when I add that to me? Yeah, okay, I want that, yeah. And then the flower that you were looking at, you pick it, because now you can take it home. It's mine. Just a small example, it happens on all levels. You meet another human being. Again, how can you be with that being and look at that human being, listen to that human being, allow this moment to be, this human being that appears here in front of you at this moment, and just listen, just look, without the person. Is it possible to do that? Yes, it's possible, because it's time for that. And people are telling me it's already happening in their life, and then it becomes obscured again, and then it comes again. But now that you can see it, you can contribute to it also by simply choosing presence and becoming aware of the underlying field, which is the deepest level of who you are, as the song that Kirtana sang at the beginning, the title of that was I Am. Not I am this or that, because that would mean identifying with an object in consciousness. But when the identification, what remains is consciousness, I am. The innermost sense of who you are that got mixed up with identification with objects in your consciousness, the innermost sense remains. That which you are really fearful, that which you have a feeling there's something of great value, something precious here, and I don't want to lose that. I don't want to die, but this precious sense of beingness, of aliveness, of presence, in the usual state, gets entangled with objects in consciousness, identifications. And so you derive your identity from the story, the accumulated objects in your mind. But if you look to the essence of that sense of self, there is something real there, but it's not the story. At the core of it, there's something real, and that's consciousness. Even the greatest illusion, the greatest dream, hallucination, in every illusion or hallucination, there must be something real in it, or otherwise it would not be. If it is, it is a form that consciousness has taken, temporary form. A hallucination is a form that only you see and nobody else agrees with. The rest is this world. Everybody more or less agrees on what they see. In ultimate terms, one could say it is also similar to a shared hallucination, especially the nightmare world of the ego. Dreadful. So the simple thing, what looks so insignificant to thought, you can walk around the city, wherever, at home, walking between here and your car, and simply be there as an aware presence. The person, what do you need the person for? When you need to remember something, it will be there. When you pick up the phone, you don't say, "This is the nameless presence," or or as one man said who wanted to teach me a lesson, when I asked him, "When were you born?" He said, "I was never born." Oh, sorry, I asked that question. He's right, of course, although the way he said it was wrong. It was an ego thing, but ultimately that statement is true. The essence is who you are was never born. So the shift now is from being a heavy person. Every person is heavy. There are degrees of heaviness. I'm not talking about physical heaviness, psychological heaviness. There are degrees of heaviness. Some persons are heavier than others. Some are very heavy. Wherever they step, nothing grows. Humanity as a whole is heavy. The collective person that humanity is, and see what humanity is doing to the planet. One could almost say that somewhat humorous comment I made could apply to the whole of humanity. Nothing grows where they step. And that is the heaviness of the collective unconsciousness. And so the shift then is from personal, exclusively personal sense of self, to realizing yourself as aware presence, and be that. And you will find, because we are at a transitional stage in the shift of consciousness, it is possible that you may walk away from here and from never again fall back into resistance to what is, never again fall back into identification with thought movement, and be present for the rest of your life, which after all is only this moment ever, but always, it's possible. More frequently it happens that you shift back and forth from being a person and totally believing that you are a person. This means drama starts. You become an active participant in the drama of your story. And then suffering comes. And then you remember, oh, I forgot the now. Any suffering that arises in your life, it must mean you lost the now somewhere. I lost the now. And then you go back into now and realize the space of now is okay. Whatever appears in the now, I can face that. It's not, the now is never that complicated. It comes, you face it, and action arises, or non-action arises if there's nothing you can do. That's always simple. Even if you think there's a choice in this moment to do this or this or this, when you let go of trying to figure out through thought, you just face the situation. Should I jump this way off, or should I jump that way? You just face it, and then you find yourself moving this way or that way. And that comes out of presence. And so you face this moment, and your life becomes non-complex. And of course, the power is always there that arises out of consciousness or presence. The power to face what is always there. The only thing you can never face is what the fantasies that the mind constructs of what might happen to you, or what you might lose, or what you might not get, or a situation that may arise. Oh, what's going to happen? What am I going to say? What's going to happen to me? Me. Am I going to make it? And when? Am I going to make it before it's too late? Have I missed it already? Is my whole life wasted? I've probably missed the boat already. There's not much I can do now. So many mistakes I made. All I could have achieved this and that. Why didn't I? If only my parents had been different. Or many people have this story of their life has been a failure, wasted, not silly story. Every story is unsatisfying. Even if it looks great for a moment, you get miserable again. It's built into every story. Step out of it. Where just presence. And then the life is miraculous, even the city. Things, the dance of life forms, birds fly. You just look, and it's gone. Clouds, nature has depth to it because you don't go through it with a screen of mind. It's just there. Oh. Human beings, and this is so important, When that dimension of what I call space consciousness is present in your interactions with other human beings, that's what really everybody is waiting for, is for that dimension to arise. They're waiting for you, one could almost say, every interaction. You can bring that. Who are you? On the surface, you're a person. In your depths, you are consciousness. So you interact with humans in the same way that you look at a flower, allowing them to be. They are what is at this moment. And you look. Perhaps you sense the inner body so that you don't get drawn into mental stuff about them. and you listen to them. And you listen without preparing the next statement mentally. You just listen. You don't know. People used to come to me for counseling or whatever they called it, spiritual counseling sessions. And in the past, many people came with problems, sometimes heavy problems. I didn't know the answer. I don't know the answer to these heavy problems. What do I know? So all I could do was sit there with them and listen. And becoming comfortable with not knowing. Because that's part of it, and that's the little egoic entity doesn't like that. It says, I need to know what this is all about. I need to know what you are about. What are your motivations? What do you want from me? Don't, whatever you can figure out about another person is their conditioning combined with your conditioning. And it's a shared hallucination. And then you can be with someone and they telling you their heavy problems. And you know that you don't know. And you are comfortable with not knowing and allowing that space of simple listening to be there. But it's alert. It's not a listening that goes to sleep. It's an alert listening, relaxed alert. So the words appear within that spaciousness that comes through this form. That is the dimension that most humans are not conscious of, the unmanifested space consciousness. And when that dimension is present in this dimension, they're not really separate because they're intertwined. There is space consciousness even in, let's leave that aside. And suddenly within that space, things happen, realizations happen. The person may stop speaking, as sometimes happens. The story suddenly peters out, and they look around, and suddenly feel there's a peace. What's this? One woman came in with a heavy story, talked to me for half an hour or an hour about it. And I just, spaciousness was there. I didn't know the answer. The problems were so complicated. Nobody could have solved them. And after 30 or 45 minutes of talking, she stopped. And it was like a waking up. She had all these notes that she needed to all their problems. And she put that. And she looked at me, and the next, her statement was a miracle. I couldn't believe it. She said, there's only love, isn't there? Yes. Thank you. Goodbye, she said. At other times it happened that some answer came through me, just suddenly said something. It just came out, just like this talk comes out. It's not rehearsed. It just comes out. Or something, suddenly words come out of the other person's mouth that suddenly reveal something. But they arise because there's a space of presence. And that space is intelligent, vastly intelligent. That is true intelligence. And it's only when you're connected with that, that love can be present even in this world. Because it arises out of that. It doesn't arise out of the object consciousness. That's the message. You know all that. You recognize it. So your mission is clear. To be, to know yourself as awareness, as presence. And to put up with the person, yes. Honor it also. It's the world of form. You honor the world of form. You don't say, don't want nothing to do with the world of form. All I want is God. But you're still here. And the world of form will keep bothering you. We are talking, of course, of God's realization as the essence of your being. I would like Ketana to come and sing her last song, which is my favorite song. If I cry, don't worry. I sometimes cry when I listen to that song. And the title of that song refers to exactly what we have been talking about this afternoon, pointing to what we've been living, experiencing this afternoon. And it's nice sometimes to hear the same teaching in slightly different words expressed again. So the title of that song is Who You Really Are. And that's what this gathering is about, knowing who you are beyond concepts, beyond a conceptualized sense of self. It's the end of that dreadful thing that is a conceptualized sense of self, the burden of that. Oh. Listening to this is a beautiful meditation in itself. Thank you, Ketana.
Could there be more to this life we call mine than a journey through space or a storyline? More to life than the body can send, then the mind can conclude from experience. Does who we are begin with breath, depend on form, or end with death? Strip away these roles, these names, measure success by the things we accrue, or the bonds that we form, or the deeds we do. But these two will pass, as hard as we try to hold on to form. Form will die, but inherent in this dance of form is the chance to see what's yet unborn, and the choice to throw this chance away and be caught up in the play of who we think we are, who we think we are. Where is your prayer? Where is your song? In a fortunate life comes a call to be free from the cycle of bondage, misidentity. To wake from the dream and finally realize the truth of one's being before the body dies. So before the final scene is passed, screen on which it's cast, see what seeing this me and you, and then you will see who you really are, who you really are. Thank you.